We are reading from Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and we're going to read together as a congregation verses 105 through 112, these eight verses. If you know a little bit about Psalm 119, it's in groups of eight verses. And this represents the Hebrew letter Nun. Psalm 105 verses, Psalm 119 verses 105 through 112. Let's read together this evening out of the Word of God, beginning in verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes alway, even unto the end. Well, we're here in Psalm 119, and this is the wonderful Word of God. Those of you that are visiting tonight, I began this series, if you will, back in December of last year. Kind of the typical pattern that we've been going through is we are looking at three verses one night, and three verses another night, and then two verses, kind of taking it almost 3 weeks per eight verses as we go through. And we celebrated a milestone a couple of weeks ago when we passed 100. And it was a fantastic day. But now we are here. We last week began this section. It's the Hebrew letter Nun. There are some Bibles in the pews there behind you, if you're sitting on the front row. And we began in verse 105, where the Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And so I talked about how we have a path, and actually it was titled "My Path," as the subject matter for verse 105. Verse 106 was, "I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments." And we talked about my promise. We had my path, we had my promise last week in verse 106. In verse 107, he said, "I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word." And so that point was my problem. So it was all nice and alliterated last week. And I was just thinking about what could we say about the next verses? Well, we didn't quite get the P's this week, but we do have three my's. Three more my's for verses 108, 109, and 110. I'm going to see how quick you are this evening, if you can figure them out. Look at verse 108, if you would, please. He says, "Accept, I beseech thee, the free will offerings," oh, it's an easy one, "of my mouth." See, you all are a bright crowd. You're fantastic at this. That's what we're going to talk about in this verse. And that word "accept" is not "accept," it's "accept." In other words, please take what I have. He says, "Accept, I beseech thee, the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments." You know, our mouth is a powerful tool. It really is. And you know what? It can be used for good or bad. And you know what? I think that God wants it to be used for good. We have a mouthpiece in this world, and we ought to use it for the right things. It ought to be pleasing in the sight of the Lord. Let me build up somewhat of a case for this as I read to you out of some of the Psalms in our scriptures. In Psalm 19, verse 14, the Bible says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Did you know that the Bible tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh? We speak what's in our heart. And he says here, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Is God pleased with what comes out of your mouth? Because what's in your heart is what's going to come out of your mouth. And he ought to be pleased with both. Amen. So that's what we have there. Here in Psalm 17, verses 1 through 6, it says, hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer, that goeth not out of feigned lips. When you feign, you're lying, or you're trying to trick something. And he says, it's not coming out of feigned lips. This is no trick. This is what I really mean, God. He says, let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee. For thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me and hear my speech. In Psalm 34, the Bible tells us, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Is the praise of God continually in your mouth? Now, that kind of reminds me of the verse in the Bible that tells us to pray without ceasing. Okay, we don't literally go around and just, praying to God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. No, it's a spirit of prayer. And I think likewise, as we see this verse, it says that the praise of God is continually in our mouth. It doesn't mean that every word we speak is praising God, but the spirit of what's coming out of our mouth is. We ought to have continual praise in our mouth. It says, continuing on in Psalm, this is Psalm 34, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Do the things that come out of your mouth in praising God make others want to praise God too? Isn't that something that's acceptable to God? Oh, I think it is. In Psalm 40, verses 2 and 3, it says, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. As a Christian, as a believer in Christ, what we say ought to cause others to love God, and to follow God, and to fear God, and to serve God. Does what you say, is it acceptable to God? As the psalmist said, accept, I beseech thee, the free will offerings of my mouth. Does God consider the things that you say an offering? A sweet smelling savor? A sacrifice that's acceptable unto God? In Psalm 51, David says, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Psalm 89:1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. That's a popular scripture song that many of you may know. But we ought to sing the mercies of the Lord forever, and we ought to make known his faithfulness to all generations. Psalm 109, verse 30 says, I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude. You understand that our mouth is a powerful tool. Back in the Bible, in the Old Testament, we see a story about a young lady named Hannah. And as she went to the time of sacrifice and the remembering of the feast in the temple once a year that they went to come, and she was found kind of on the steps there, crying out, just pouring out her heart to God. And Eli, the prophet, the priest, he thought that she was drunk because she opened her mouth and nothing came out. Her heart was so full of her desire to have a son. And Eli told her that God would give her what she asked. Well, we find in 1 Samuel chapter 2, Hannah, in her excitement, for being found with child, says this, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Well, she used her mouth to praise and honor and glorify and give credit to God for what he had done in her life. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to put yourself out there and do those things? In the book of Numbers, there's a curious story of a prophet named Balaam. And his financier, or this man that wanted to hire him, named Balak. And everybody knows about Balaam's donkey, right? And that's a wonderful story in itself, and how all that transpired. But we know the story how Balak wanted to pay Balaam to curse God's people. And of course, God worked through these things, and we don't have time to go through the whole story, but I want to illustrate how what's in our mouth is important and not to follow a certain design. In Numbers 22, the Bible tells us that Balaam said unto Balak, lo, I am come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. That's how it ought to be with us. What God puts in us, that's what we should speak. Is God so much in you and in your heart and in your life that that's what you can't help but speak anything else? That's how it should be. Now, we know that Balak and Balaam had this problem. Balaam had been paid. He was supposed to curse God's people. And out of his mouth came blessings. He said, hey, that's not what I paid for. I paid you to come and curse my enemies, and you come out here and bless them. His answer was this. And he answered and said, must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? You know, it reminds me of something Jesus said to us. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're supposed to be a witness for Christ. The people around us should know not only that we're a Christian, but that Jesus Christ is our Savior. Oh, the psalmist said, accept, I beseech thee, the free will offerings of our mouth. We ought to be willing. We ought to want to. That's what a free will offering is. Nobody's coercing you. Nobody's making you do it. You're doing it because you want to do it. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, it says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that I therein I may speak boldly, even as I ought to speak. Now, it's something we should do. The Bible says this is something that should be possible in us, but Paul said that I may do it. He said, I want to do it. It's something that I'm doing out of my own free will. In James chapter 3, he says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith we curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Isn't that interesting? As we began talking about my mouth, we know it can be for blessing. And we know it can be for cursing. And our desire, as David's desire, was that the free will offerings of his mouth would be acceptable in God's sight. Are you concerned about that? You ought to be, and we all ought to be. Our mouth and what comes out of it is important. We'll go back to Psalm 119, look at verse 109. So far, we've looked at my mouth. Now let's see if we can figure out what 109 has to say. Again, I set you up for success, okay? Let's just read the first two words. My, oh, you are amazing. You are all amazing. Didn't this just come naturally here? My soul. You know, part of mankind that we need to be concerned about is our never-dying soul. And David says, my soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. What David's talking about here is his continuous fear of being in physical peril. He was encompassed about by his enemies. If you read any length at all in the Psalms, you see him asking God to deliver him and deliver him and deliver him. And these people, these wicked people, these evil people have set snares for him. And this has happened to him. And his life is in danger here. And he's looking for refuge here. And he's asking God to be a shield and a protector here. All of these things. He says, my soul is ever under attack. And my soul is ever and continually in my hand. He said, even though I'm in this peril, even though I'm always in this constant state of defending myself and fleeing for my life and not knowing what's going to happen, he says, yet do I not forget thy law. You know what? Even though we may be under attack, we may be in peril, we may be under great difficulty, the Lord must be our deliverer. And our buckler, and our strong tower, and the one that we run to for refuge. God is the one that will care for our soul. He loves you. He gave his only begotten son for you. Isn't that enough to show that he cares for your soul? The Bible says that God wishes that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants every single human being to come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Our soul should not necessarily be in our hand, but should be in His hand. In Psalm chapter 3, David said, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. In Psalm 6, David said, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul also is sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. All of you probably have this next passage of scripture memorized. Psalm 23. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In Psalm 25, I'm going to read to you the first verse, then I'm going to read to you a verse toward the end of Psalm 25. David at the beginning of the psalm says, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. When we're talking about our soul, listen, It is, if you will, as David said, it's in our hand, but we have the ability to lift it up to the Lord and allow Him to watch over us. In Psalm 25 verse 1, he said, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." As he goes on and explains his difficulties, he comes to verse 20 and says, "O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee." He offered up his soul. He said, "God, I'm lifting it up to you. You keep it. I'm putting my trust in you." That needs to be the course of our life. You see, as David spoke in Psalm 119, verse 109, he said, "My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law." In Psalm 35, David says, "Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind. Let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery. And let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation." Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn a few chapters further in Psalms to 143. Psalm 143. As David cries out to God and expresses this whole idea of his soul and him not forgetting God's law, I found this psalm quite comforting. He says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant. For in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee, as a thirsty land. Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindnesses in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me in the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul. For I am thy servant." You know, that psalm in itself echoes what he said in Psalm 119, verse 109, that my soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. As we go back to Psalm 119, we've talked about my mouth. We've talked about my soul. Now, we have to use a little bit of imagination, okay? I've set you up with two easy ones. Okay? Here we are in verse 110. "The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts." Okay, so we have my mouth, my soul, and now we have my escape. My escape. You know, as the wicked lay snares for us, God does not want us to be ensnared in them. He does not want us to be trapped. He does not want us to be lost and undone and out of the race, if you will. But rather, He wants us to be able to escape those things. And the very things that He has set up in His words, His law, His judgments, His commandments, and as David says here, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Those things are our escape. The Word of God is our escape. In Psalm 71, the Bible tells us, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man, for thou art my hope. O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. Aren't you glad that God wants us to escape? Hey, you know what? The devil's after you. The world's after you. And you know what? Your own carnal, wicked, hell-bent flesh is after you. It's hard to get away from yourself. You ever tried it before? Hey, but you know what? God says there's a way to escape. He's allowed for us. He's promised that we can escape these things. In Psalm 141, it says, but mine eyes are unto thee, O God, the Lord. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares which they have laid for me, and the gins of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, whilst that I withal escape. God wants to make a way for us to escape. He's allowed for us because of His word and His promises and His testimonies and His truths, the things that we can hold to and know they're a sure path that we can escape. God has laid out for us the way. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, you understand, you have to take into account that as you read through Proverbs and you read through Ecclesiastes, that Solomon is and was the wisest man. Okay, you understand that, right? He went through a lot of things. And toward the end of his life, there was one thing that kind of derailed him. Yeah. Women. They did. 700 wives? 300 porcupines? I mean, concubines? Okay. A little bit of a joke for you there. Okay, very good. They turned his heart away from God. They did. Oh, he had an opportunity, but he writes about it in Ecclesiastes, but I want you to pay attention to this. He says, and I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets. I think he understood what was happening. But then he says this. He said, whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. You know the famous psalm proverb where he talks about when he stood by the casement of the window and he watched this whole thing happening with the young man. But you understand that, ladies, God bless you, you're not evil. Okay? You're ladies, you're human beings just like us. That's not what he's talking about. He's simply saying that if we want to escape the snares of whatever's out there, we've got to be one that pleases God. So the focus here is simply that if we'll please God, there'll be a way to escape. That's the emphasis. And as David talked here about the wicked, they've laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. If we stay true to God and His word, that will please God and we'll be able to escape. In Luke chapter 21, he says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with suffering and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that the day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. In 1 Corinthians 10, another warning to us about the flesh and about the wiles of the devil. He says, Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above all that ye are able, but it will with the temptation be able to make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God wants us to be able to escape. In order to do it, we must stay true to Him. We must please Him. We must follow His path and His solution to the way of escape. Paul said in 2 Timothy, "At first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." The Lord Jesus Christ is our deliverer. He's our Savior. He saved us from our sins. In Him is our trust. I love what Paul says about the fight between the flesh and the spirit. He says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Jesus Christ is your way of escape. He is the one that is delivering us from the evil way. David said, "The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts." So, just in review, we've talked about my path. We've talked about my promise. We talked about last week my problem. And then tonight, my mouth, my soul, and my escape. You know, these little things are here for us in the Word of God. They're for our benefit, for our success. God wants us to follow His Word. I was sharing with the kids tonight out of Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Joshua is told by God, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." God wants us to have good success. You know how we do it? Through this book right here. The wonderful Word of God.